everything. This morning, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would guide us in your word and through your word. And Lord, be an encouragement. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. So happy to see little people getting up and going back to be with their teacher. It's so amazing that we have adults in our church that love our kids enough to be able to teach them in a way that makes sense to them. I love that. It's amazing. Anyway, I hope you're having a good time this morning so far. I hope it's been an encouraging morning for you so far. It's been a nice little family reunion for us. You know, so this is really one of my favorite times of the week is when we get to be together here as a family and have this little family reunion. And those of you that are joining us online, we are excited that you have made your Sunday morning to be a part of our extended spiritual family this morning. So thank you so much for that. We have an amazing day. We have an amazing, every Sunday I feel like is a pretty amazing day because we get to be together. We get to worship together. We get to enjoy each other's company together, and not just to see each other, but to see each other and look at the word together, like to actually look at scripture and grow together as a family. I love that so much, and I hope that you guys are blessed by our little family reunions here every week as well. It's so great to see some of you that haven't been here, or you know, for sicknesses and whatever. Anyway, that's what I've got. There's something that I have. I don't know if that's going to stay down there. Probably not. There's something that I've shared before, but I'm going to share it again because maybe some people haven't heard it, or maybe I shared it in a little bit of a different way. So I'm going to share it again. About 6 or 7 years ago, something like that, like 2015, 2016, in that range, a little bit of both. I was in the middle of a pretty big project for the church that I was serving at. We were in Lafayette. We were serving at a church called Lafayette Community Church. And this church, when we started there, it was a church plant. And when we started there, there was something like 60 people. And the Lord grew it to the point that we needed to buy our own space and we needed to build something. Okay. And so I was tasked. I wasn't the lead pastor, but I was tasked with the role of both finding a place, finding the financing for this place, and also doing all of the remodeling of this place. Like, that was all on me. Now, I didn't physically do all of the work, although I did do a lot of the work. I didn't physically have to do everything, but I had to manage contractors. I had to manage volunteer schedules. I had to manage getting food for volunteers. I would get phone calls at like 7 p.m. of somebody saying, hey, my family wants to go up and work at the church. Can we go? And I would say, sure. And I would get up and leave my house and we would go work at the church for 3 or 4 hours because there was a volunteer that wanted to. I loved it. I loved it so much because we were serving together. We were doing just a lot of really great stuff. But the thing is, we were on a little bit of a time crunch as well, because we needed to be out of our rented facilities. Otherwise, it was going to cost us more money. And so we had a particular day. I don't remember what day it was, but we had to be out of our rented facilities. And so I was working on the construction and you know, the financing and the blueprints and doing all this stuff myself. And I can remember reaching out to my elder board. Okay, so those of you that don't know, the elder board, that's the spiritual leaders of the church. We have at LRBC, we have some of the best elders that I've ever served with. So that's an encouragement for me, and hopefully that's an encouragement for you to know that those that are spiritually leading this church are fantastic, okay? And I'm not just saying that so they don't fire me. I actually believe it. They might be doing a review right now, but I actually do believe that they are some of the best that I've ever. So anyway, so I called the elders and I reached out and I said, hey, I'm struggling. Okay, here's the reality. I was in charge of a $1 million project by myself. Like, I did the financing. I found the financing. I worked with the banks in order to get money. I managed getting the money to the contractors. I managed finding the contractors. I managed scheduling the volunteers. I managed, if nobody else was there to physically build the wall, then I was the guy that did it. I had to do all of it, okay? And some of you that were here 20 years ago and building this project, you know the weight of what that is. It's a hard job, okay? And so I had all of this on me. And so I called the elders. I would call our elders and I'd say, hey, I really could use a prayer time. Like, could we just, as elders, get together and pray for this project because I'm struggling? And here's the response I got. You're doing great, Billy. Thumbs up. That's not what I was looking for. I was looking for actual, like, support. Like, I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling alone. I was feeling just the weight of all of this stuff. And so I asked the lead pastor, my boss, I said, hey, I would love if you could come to the project just once a week. Just come by once a week, walk through. Because, you know, as you know, if you've built projects before, there's constantly questions that have to be answered. Okay, where do you want this outlet? Okay, how high do you want this fan? Okay, like, there's constantly just little tedious questions, and there's things that you have to deal with, because I can say this because our resident engineer isn't here at the moment, but as smart as engineers in an office somewhere are, that doesn't always translate to the job site, right? And so there's constantly changes that have to be made to the blueprint in order to fit the actual space and be more functional. And so I'm constantly doing it. So I asked the lead pastor, hey, could you come and could you just once a week walk through with me, you know, make sure we're on the right page, make sure things are being done the right way. So he did. He did for like 2 weeks. He showed up in his fancy, and I'm not trying to say anything bad. He wasn't a construction guy. So he shows up in his like nice clothes to a job site with like fancy shoes that can't get dirty, you know, to a job site, like to a construction zone. And so he would spend about 5 minutes there and then he would leave, because it's just not, that wasn't his gifting, and that's fine. But here's the reason I say all of that, because I was alone. I felt very alone. This entire project fell on my shoulders. Now, from the perspective of everyone in Lafayette, I was doing a great job. The project was looking fantastic. You can look at pictures of the building now, and it's beautiful. Like, God blessed the project despite my feelings of aloneness. But I was miserable. I'm going to say a word that Christians aren't supposed to say, but some of you know what I'm talking about. I was truly depressed. Like, in the middle of working on this project for the Lord, one of the greatest things we could possibly be doing, but I was depressed. I was alone in the midst of all of this weight. Now, my wife was amazing. My wife is amazing. Those of you that know Bethany, she's great. She's an encourager. But the reality is, I didn't share with her everything that was going on, because that wasn't her responsibility to hold. So I shared some, and she encouraged me, but the reality is there was so much more going on that I just kind of held on to, and some of you guys, especially, I don't, women, maybe you're the same way, but I'm not a woman, and, you know, I don't know for sure, but guys typically have a feeling of, well, just figure it out. You know, guys have the reputation of not asking for directions for a reason. I'll just figure it out. I'm just going to manage. Like, I can remember, as talking about directions, I can remember when I was in Nuevo Laredo, which is a border town in Texas. When I was in eighth grade, I don't know why they relied on me for directions in eighth grade. And this, you know, there's no phones, there's no Google Maps. And I'm just driving the mission trip around saying, turn here. No, turn here. And anyway, guys. And so I had this idea of, I'll just handle it, I'll manage. But the reality is, the weight was just crushing me. And I can remember crying out, and I can remember just saying, God, what are you doing? God, this is heavy, and I don't know if I can manage this. And now I'm sure none of you guys have ever experienced anything like that, because you guys are far better Christians than I am. There was a lot of pressure on me, and there was a lot of pressure to get the project done right and to get the project done on time. Not because of me, not because of, you know, that I wanted to have everybody say, yay, Billy, but because this was for the Lord. And here's my perspective when it comes to anything we do for the Lord. Here's my perspective, and some of you, especially deacons, have heard me say this type of thing. Good enough is never good enough. When it comes to the Lord and what the Lord has done, good enough is never good enough. Okay? We should always be striving to be better, both in our spiritual walks, but also in our physical stuff. We should be striving to be better, right? Because good enough is never good enough when it comes to the Lord. So I can remember crying out to the Lord frequently saying, God, aren't we finished with this project yet? God, can't you just like, okay, I don't know if you guys have ever thought this, but I've watched a lot of sci-fi type stuff. So I can remember just praying and saying, God, can you just like make me in the future, like just pass this stuff by so that we can just be finished with this? And I would beg the Lord daily for the energy to get through the day. Like I would leave our house and Bethany saw at least some of it, and she would ask me things, which, you know, obviously caused some strife between us because it's not her weight. And so I would be fine, and I would leave the house, and as soon as I would get in the car to leave, my face, my whole demeanor would just crush. And I would get to the church and I would fake it really good, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. You're supposed to just fake it. And so I can remember crying out to the Lord, Lord, pick me up. I begged the Lord daily for the energy to just keep going. And I did all of that. I did all of that because I was responsible for this $1 million project. It was a little bit short of a million, like $800,000. Now, if that was me, can you imagine for a moment, and you know the times that you've felt the same way, because I'm sure we've all had those moments. Can you imagine what Noah felt like being responsible for all of civilization? Like, I had a $1 million project on my shoulders. Noah has the world on his shoulders. This morning, we're in the middle of our series called Genesis, Back to the Beginning. Excuse me. And we're spending these next few weeks, we're going to get through, hopefully, we're going to get through Genesis 11. That's kind of my goal, is to go through that point. And so far we've seen some pretty amazing things so far as we've been going through this series, right? First of all, we saw that God created everything, right? We saw that. We know that. God created everything. We saw that God actually created us, you and me, before the curse, that God created us to work, right? God created us to do things. He had specific jobs for us to do. Well, then we saw that mankind and our sinfulness, well, that we compromised what we knew was right for what our desires were. That's what we saw happen. We saw man compromise what was right to do what they desired. And then last week we saw that through the righteousness of Noah, that Noah's family was saved and spared from the judgment of the flood. And we saw last week that the flood was universal, that there was no escape from God's judgment, that this was everything. And we saw Noah as a picture. Noah's righteousness saving his family as a picture of Jesus. And Jesus' righteousness saving all of us. And how his righteousness would be available to all. But it's important to remember that through all of this, Noah was a man. Noah was not angelic. Noah was not Jesus managing all of this stuff. Noah was a man. And that's important to remember. Now, why do I point that out? Well, I point it out because I want you to think about for a moment the weight that was on Noah's shoulders. I want you to think about for a moment. We look at Noah's ark and we're like, wow, Noah was great and he got the animals and God judged the world. But through Noah, because Noah was righteous, his family was saved and they went out and they repopulated the earth. And it was just this beautiful story. But I want us to kind of zero in for a moment on Noah and realizing that this would have been a heavy weight for him. Now, I want you to think about the time as the flood is coming, and even probably for the first week, as the boat's floating and people are screaming and yelling out and saying, can't you save us? And maybe even banging on the boat and trying to climb up the boat. And Noah's in the boat hearing all of that, knowing what's happening. Before they get in the boat, Noah's there. He's crying out. He's saying, Merle, would you just believe and get on? Please, just, it's coming. The judgment is coming. And Merle's like, no, I'm too busy. The weight that would have been on Noah, realizing that everyone is doomed. And as they're yelling out to him and saying, Noah, we believe you now. Won't you save us now? Him realizing that it was just too late. It was too late for them. Like they had their chance. I want you to think about that weight that was on his shoulders as he managed his family on the ark, as he managed all of the animals on the ark. Those of you that have animals know it's not always easy to deal with your animals. Now imagine having all the animals, not just a few of the animals. So they tended to these animals as well as his family. And they all did their part, right? They all did their jobs. They all did what they were supposed to. We know that because the end of the story, they're all alive. So we know that they did what they were supposed to do. But that weight, the weight of all of it, was on Noah. It's not called Noah's kid's ark. It's Noah's ark. He's the guy that all of this lands on. So I want to ask you, in that, if you can just think about that for a moment, do you think that there would have been any times that maybe Noah felt helpless? Or Noah felt alone? He can't go to his wife and tell her because she's got her own stuff that she has to deal with. He can't go to his kids because they've got jobs. He's the guy that has to just deal with it. And he's talking to God like every day. God, you know, and God's giving him instructions. But then he sees everything out there. Do you think that there was ever times that Noah felt overwhelmed? I can remember when I started, right before I started seminary, I can remember, well, I guess the first day I started seminary, I sat down in there. First of all, I didn't think by any stretch of anyone's imagination that I would be accepted to the seminary. Like one December, I don't know if I've told this story or not, but one December, I just sat down and I was like, I think I'm supposed to apply for seminary. I did it on the computer, I sent it off. Didn't hear nothing. I'm like, cool, I obeyed God. I applied, that's all he told me to do. And then like August 1st, I get an email saying class starts in 2 weeks. Now you need to learn Hebrew and Greek. Okay, that's not going to happen. What's the best way to cheat on that one? So I sat down my first day of class, and I sat in the front because I want to learn. In high school, I sat in the back, and then I stopped going. I wanted to learn. I wanted to actually learn. So I sat in the front. I'm like the goody two-shoes kid, right? And I'm there, and I've got my little bag. I think we even took like a first day of school picture. It's probably online. It exists somewhere. But anyway, so I'm sitting there. I got my notepad out. I got my computer out, and I'm ready to go. And then this guy, there's a guy that sits here, and there's a guy that sits here, and we're all three on one table, okay? And let me just tell you real quick, the guy that was sitting here to my left, he was a lawyer. He was a district attorney, and he was retired, and this was his, like second career kind of thought. He wanted to learn more about ministry so that he could minister specifically in jails, like awesome stuff that he's doing. But high school dropout, lawyer. Then on the other side over here, there's a guy that's a nuclear submarine commander. High school dropout, lawyer, nuclear submarine commander. I guarantee you, I felt like walking away. Like there's no possible way I can relate to these geniuses, and I just need to walk away before I embarrass myself. But I didn't. And somebody told me something, and I'm sure you guys have heard this before, and it really helped me. But they said, it's just kind of a joke, but he said, how do you eat an elephant? And I said, you don't. They're too big. But anyway, he said, how do you eat an elephant? And then he said, one bite at a time. One thing at a time. One day at a time. You just, eventually it gets there. And it did. You know, praise the Lord. 3 years later, I graduated seminary. But I felt very overwhelmed. I don't know if you guys ever feel that way, if you ever feel overwhelmed. But I could imagine as Noah is there in the ark, and he's hearing the screams, I can imagine he was feeling pretty overwhelmed. I can imagine that when God first told him, Noah, I want you to build an ark, and this is how I want you to do it, and you need to do it to my specifications for it to work, I guarantee Noah thought, wow, that's huge. Like, how can I build that? Well, then he just got to work, right? He just, okay, I just got to do it. And the Lord used him in amazing ways, but I'm almost certain he would have felt pretty overwhelmed. Like, oh my goodness, that's a lot to think about. Now he's floating through the water. And he's experiencing destruction. We talked about this last week. He's experiencing destruction like no one has ever experienced before. The earth is both blowing up and raining down. Like, it's insane. What's going on? Now, all of us have experienced some level of destruction. Those of you that were here 20 years ago and the church burnt down, that was destruction, right? But God rebuilt it. God made something better here. We've all experienced something, but none of us have ever experienced anything like what Noah was experiencing. We've never experienced that destruction. We may have experienced some hardships in our lives. I guarantee all of us have experienced some kind of hardship. Maybe it's a physical hardship. Maybe it's a spiritual hardship. Maybe it's a medical hardship. Maybe it's a financial hardship. But we have never experienced anything like Noah was experiencing at that time. We've never experienced anything like that. But there are times when we all feel overwhelmed. Amen? I'm glad. I thought maybe I was the only one. But we all feel overwhelmed sometimes. And it's really easy to say, when you're in the middle of a storm, to feel like you're overwhelmed, right? It's easy when you're in the middle of the storm to be like, yeah, this is overwhelming. And it's easy to feel like maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think I am. It's easy to feel like maybe God is busy with everybody else right now. I just need to deal with it. Whatever the situation is, I just got to deal with it. It's easy to maybe even sometimes feel like God isn't even paying attention to you. You're just completely alone. I mean, you know the truth, right? If you're a Christian here this morning, you know the truth, right? You know that God will never leave you or forsake you. We know that in Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the last part of that verse actually says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We've heard people tell us that. We know it's true in our mind. But that doesn't mean we always realize and feel that truth. Now, if God will never leave you or forsake you, the reality is that God knows the experience, the situation that you are dealing with right now. That God knows that. I don't know what everybody here is dealing with, but God does. You see, here's the thing. Here's the thing I want us to all understand. Feeling overwhelmed, feeling forsaken, feeling lost, feeling alone, these are normal human emotions. These are normal things that we all experience. Whether we admit it or not, I guarantee every single person in this room, every single person joining us online has experienced some level of that aloneness. Feeling forsaken. And listen, if you have never experienced that, you will. As a matter of fact, earlier this week, I was feeling that way. See, I'm wrestling with something, about something with God right now, trying to figure some things out because I feel like God's telling me to do something. And I'm not going to tell you guys what it is yet. You can just be, you know, on the edge of your seat about this. But I feel like God's telling me to do something, but I don't understand how. I don't understand the way. I'm not smart enough, for sure. I'm not the nuclear submarine commander. And so I'm struggling and I'm wrestling with, you know, God, how do you want me to do this thing? So I'm wrestling with God. I'm feeling overwhelmed about this. But that's why remembering the truth is so important. That's why in the midst of wrestling with God or in the midst of feeling overwhelmed, it's so important to know the truth. Because if we know it, if we tell ourselves enough, then maybe eventually we will believe it. Maybe eventually we'll feel it. I mean, listen, even David, the man who is described as being a man after God's own heart. Like, if there's anybody spiritual enough, it's David, right? But in Psalm chapter 10, verse 1, here's what he says. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away from me? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? If David, the man after God's own heart, the man that God blessed, if David felt that way, then it's definitely not strange that I would feel that way sometimes. God, why is it taking so long for this thing to happen? God, where are you right now? Why do you hide yourself? You see, whether it's something that we feel led to do, like Noah building an ark, right? Or whether it's a hardship or a storm in life, like the literal storm that Noah was experiencing as the boat was floating all around and enduring in the ark, it's important for us to remember the truth that the Lord is right there. Always. 100% of the time, He's right there. There's a phrase that was said by a man much smarter and much better than I am. Maybe you've heard of him, guy by the name of Billy Graham. Here's something he said one time. The will of God will never take us where His grace cannot sustain us. The will of God will never take us where His grace cannot sustain us. Listen, I'll just say this too. When Beth and I moved here to this region, to this area, we felt like, what is going on? Like, we've never lived in little communities like this. But then we move here and we just find out that this is the best thing ever. Like I was told when I'm just going to throw somebody under the bus. Those of you that are going to be at the survey on Wednesday night, you guys can just deal with Brian. But Brian told me, when he first told me about Leaf River and told me he wanted me to connect with the people here at Leaf River, he said, look, Leaf River is a great church to cut your teeth in and get prepared to go somewhere. Well, quite frankly, I don't want to go anywhere. Like, this is an amazing community. I didn't want to come here at first. But the will of God, us coming here, will never take us where His grace cannot sustain us. And He changed both Beth and my heart. Now, our kids, not so much. They're like, we're going as soon as we can. We want to be where people exist. So, that's on them. But whether it's a command from the Lord or a storm of life, like sickness, financial strain, all of those types of things, God is right there. He's right there. And this is so important for us to remember. Now, I've talked for a long time, and I haven't even gotten to Genesis yet, which is kind of where we're supposed to do. So let's look at Genesis. We're just going to look at one verse this morning. And I know you guys are excited because that means we get out by noon. But one verse this morning, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, says, but God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. Now, there's some things to start, and they get a little bit interesting here. You see, previously, God made a promise to Noah. Do you guys remember that way back a few weeks ago? God made a promise to Noah. This is not the first encounter that God has with him. Noah's been following God's commands all this time, every step of the way. And back at the beginning of the story, God and Noah had a conversation, and God made a promise to Noah. Look back at Genesis chapter 8, verse 16. It says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. I will establish a covenant with you. I will make a promise to you. That's what's happening here. God commanded Noah to build an ark. God told Noah the ark is going to save all of the animals. And then God promised Noah that he and his family would enter the earth while the entire earth, they would enter the ark while the entire earth, the entire planet was destroyed. We read throughout the last couple of weeks that Noah did everything that the Lord commanded. The hard stuff, Noah did it. Noah told people, Noah cut down trees, Noah made the pitch, he bought the pitch. I don't know how he got the pitch, but he used the pitch, and he built the thing that was massive, that was I don't remember, something like 5 acres, or I don't remember off the top of my head. It's a huge place, okay? Noah built the ark. God brought judgment. But God remembered. These three words right there are huge. But God remembered. It's really important what's happening here. But if we're honest, it's a little bit confusing, at least for me. And maybe you guys are probably smarter than me, but when I was reading this, I was a little bit confused. And I've seen this phrase before. I've seen God remembering things before. And I'm just going to be honest here for a minute. In the back of my head, I'm always thinking, if God remembered, does that mean he forgot? I mean, that's what comes. If you remember, that means if I remembered something, that means I previously wasn't thinking about it. I previously maybe forgot about it, so I had to remember. Then I wonder if God forgot about Noah, like the only family on the planet to exist, if God forgot about him, then why would he care about me? Why would he care about the situations that I'm... If God forgot about Noah, there's no way he cares about Billy and Little Leaf River. I've read other phrases too, right? God remembered Abraham. God remembered Rachel. God remembers Israel. I mean, these are important people in Scripture that God has to remember. And if that's the case, there's no hope for me. And I'm, you know, let's just be honest. If God forgot Israel, if God had to remember Israel, there's no hope for any of us. Because Israel was huge. But what if I told you that God remembered doesn't mean what we initially think it means? I want to explain this a little bit because I'm just being honest. The phrasing I've struggled with it, like for a long time. And so I wanted to dig into this a little bit more. I wanted to understand what these words really mean, okay? And so here's the thing. This phrase, God remembered, in the original context, the way that the authors wrote it to the way that the people that first received it would have understood it meant something completely different, okay? This language, the way that this language is tied to a covenant. This is covenantal promise kind of language. And it's tied specifically to the covenant that was previously made, the promise that God made to Noah. So the phrase remembers applies to that. God remembers applies to the covenant, to the promise that he had previously made. To be more clear, the word remember means to fulfill a promise. To fulfill a promise. That's what the word remember would have actually meant in the original context. To the original author, to the original readers, that's what they would have understood. In other words, let's look at the context of what's going on here a little bit. And let's look at the language, the way that they meant it to the way that we understand it today. Genesis chapter 7, verse 24. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. The waters were insane on the earth 150 days. But God remembered, God fulfilled his promise to Noah. The waters were on the earth for 150 days, but God fulfilled his promise to Noah. Doesn't that give you just a lot more hope? Like knowing the context, it's not that God forgot and needed to remember. It's that God was fulfilling his promise. God was doing what he said he was going to do. In other words, when God makes a promise, God fulfills that promise. Even in the darkest times, in the midst of the worst storm you could ever possibly imagine, in the midst of the hardest job you've ever had to do, when God makes a promise, he fulfills that promise. That's so important for us today. It's so important for us to remember because, listen, we go through stuff, right? We all do. We all go through stuff, and it's so important for us to remember that when God makes a promise, God fulfills his promise. Listen, I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know each of your stories. I don't know every single thing that you guys are dealing with. I don't know what's making you feel overwhelmed. I don't know what's making you feel alone. But here's what I do know. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And this idea of remembering, this idea of fulfilling prophet or fulfilling promises doesn't just speak to the past. It's not just what happened to Noah, okay? Because it also speaks of the future. Look at what David wrote in Psalm chapter 115, verse 12. He said, The Lord has remembered us. Remember what remember means, fulfilled his promise. The Lord has fulfilled his promise to us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. The Lord has fulfilled his promise, and he will bless us. Listen, Christian, I'm specifically Christian, I'm talking to you. If you have in your life said, I am surrendering my life to the Lord, here's what's true. The promises that we read in the Old Testament, I will bless Israel, the promises like that we read in the Old Testament, they apply to you as a Christian. And we know that because of Galatians 3, verse 29. It says, and if you are Christ's, if you have surrendered to Christ, if you are a Christian, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The promise of I will never leave you or forsake you. The promise of I will bless you. The promise of I will fulfill my promises. So listen, if you're a believer here this morning, then every single promise that God has made actually applies to you. Now, here's what you may not know. Here's what you may not think sometimes. It doesn't mean things are going to happen the way you want them to happen. It means things are going to happen the way the Lord wants them to happen, because that is his promise. So if you're a believer this morning, here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to remember. Here's what I want you to leave here this morning thinking about throughout the whole week as you're dealing with the issues that you're dealing. Here's what I want you to know. God remembers you. God remembers you. And I know, listen, these last few weeks, at least for me, have seemed kind of dark as we're going through Noah's Ark and we're seeing the judgment and we're seeing that God's judgment is real and that God's judgment is universal. And we're coming to the reality that there are people that we know that if there was a flood today, would not make it on the ark. And that's dark, and we begin to feel the weight of God's judgment. And sometimes when we feel the weight of God's judgment, we forget the reality of his promises. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for a God that knows that what he just told us was heavy. The destruction of everyone and everything, that was heavy. And so as we read about his judgment, immediately we're reminded about his mercy and his faithfulness. I'm so glad that we have a God that understands that sometimes we need hope. Sometimes we need to be given something to remember that we are loved, we are blessed, we are not alone, because God remembers you. But here's the thing, and I want to be very clear. If you're here this morning, if you're joining us online, and I'm going to be dark for a minute here, here's the reality. I want you to know the reality of your condition. I want you to come to grips whether you would be on the ark or whether you would be in the flood. And that's a hard thing to think about, but here's the thing. First of all, every single person in this room, and I love you guys, I love those of you that are online, but every single person in this room is a sinner. I know you guys are good people, at least we think we're good people, but here's what else we actually know. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, here's what it tells us about being good. Listen to this. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned together. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. I want us to understand. Listen, I've talked to people before, and they've told me things like, man, I'm a good person, and my goodness outweighs my badness. That's a pretty common thing, and I've had this conversation. I'm good. I'm a good person. God would never allow a good person to be left off the boat. Well, this verse right here tells us We're not good. Not on our own. But there is hope. There is hope because there has been a promise that was made. And we know that God fulfills his promise, that God remembers you. And so as dark as it is to think that there are some who do not have a relationship with God and will face God's judgment, there is hope. Because there's been a promise that was made. John chapter 3, verse 16. And you guys probably know this. It's like the most famous verse of all time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me put this in the frame of Noah's Ark. Whoever believes in this gets to get on the boat and live and not be in the flood. You see, there's a promise. But here's the thing, here's the kicker, and here's the thing that we all have to kind of come to grips with. It's up to you whether you receive that promise or not. This is not a one size, not, that's not true. It's not a universal, like everybody just automatically wins. It's up to you to receive that promise or reject it. See, Noah was tasked with building a boat. We don't have to do that. We're only tasked with belief. It's not just a mental belief, right? It's not just knowing something. It's a belief that leads to action. It's a belief that leads to surrendering everything that you are and everything that you have to Christ, no matter what. That means that you trust God wherever he leads you. You trust God no matter. I don't care how hard times get. I don't care how hard the situation is. You trust God. There are times, like I said, there are times when we feel alone. But we know that God is faithful. See, this life that we live, that we receive, is a life focused on the Lord and not a life focused on ourselves. That's how we know. So if you're here this morning, if you're joining us online, I want to offer a special invitation. I want to ask you, if you're here this morning or online, I don't care where you are, I want to ask you, if you're struggling with this, I want to ask you to send me a message. If you're even thinking about the possibility of what would it look like if I surrendered to Christ, if I actually accepted this promise that's been given, what would it look like? I want you to send me a message. If you're here, if you're online, if you've never made that commitment, I want you to send me a message and let's have a talk. Let's get together. If you're here, if you're online and you're not struggling and you're just like, whatever, I don't even care. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I want you to send me a message because I just want to get to know you. I want to understand. I want to learn from you. What is it for you that makes you not even care? Let's just have a conversation. Lastly, I want you to send me a message so that I can know, and this applies to every single person, no matter where you are. I want you to send me a message so that I can know how to pray for you. I want to know how to lift you up. Listen, we have a prayer group that meets Tuesday and Friday mornings every week, and we are constantly praying for various people, and we would love to know how to pray for you specifically. So send me a message and let me know. Now, let me take everything that we've talked about this morning and let me apply it specifically to Leaf River Baptist Church, to this group, to those of you that would say, this is my church home. Listen, God has called us to Leaf River. God has put us in this community, in your home, wherever you live specifically. I actually did a map thing, and we have people within our church as far out as Davis Junction, Polo, and Forreston. Like, we've got a pretty big swath of people there. But if you would call Leaf River your home, then God hasn't put you here on accident. But listen, you're here for a reason. God's called you to do something. I don't know what that is. Maybe you don't know what that is. But God placed us here in Leaf River for a purpose. And so here's the question that I have. Are we willing as a church, are we willing to do what God has called us to do in order to reach this community for Christ? Are we willing to do what God has called us to do? God put us in Leaf River. Are we willing to do the things that we need to do in order to reach Leaf River for Christ? Listen, I believe 100%, I believe this. God has a huge plan for this community. And I believe 100% that LRBC is a pivotal part of that plan. I wholeheartedly believe that. But we can only accomplish that plan. We can only do the thing that God's called us to do if we're willing to build the boat. So are we, as a church, willing to build the boat? And I know it can feel overwhelming sometimes, especially when we talk about, I'll just be honest, when we first did the first Christmas parade, and that was all on Nathaniel and Christy, and we had this great big Christmas parade, I guarantee there was moments that they were like, how are we going to get this thing done? There are moments even as a church where we say, how can we make an impact on that community? We're only, 75, 80, 90 people. How can we transform that community? Like, that's overwhelming to think about. But I believe that God has called us to do something really big. Even if we don't fully understand or have a picture of what the end result is going to be. But we don't have the plans like Noah had. But we do have his promise to take us there. And we know that God remembers us as a church, as a body, as believers. We know that God remembers us. And he has a plan. He's put us here for a purpose. It's up to us to accept that purpose or reject it. And that's up to each of us individually to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for who you are, for what you do in our lives, Lord, for remembering us, for fulfilling your promises to us every single day. Lord God, just thank you so much. Lord, we ask you this morning to show us your next steps. Lord, we know we're here. We know we're in Leaf River. We know we're doing what we're supposed to be doing here in this moment. But Lord, show us our next step, individually as well as corporately, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and for what you've done and for your promises to never leave us and never forsake us, even in the midst of everything that we're going through. In your name we pray. Amen.